Jim Elliott and four other missionaries were seeking to reach out to a fierce Ecuadorian tribe known as the Alcas when those same Indians turned on them. The shocking news of the deadly attack spread around the world. But Jim's widow, Elizabeth, surprised many when she and her young daughter, Valerie, lived there with the same tribe for 2 years. On Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares with you the lessons learned through that and many other events in her remarkable journey.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, continuing my discussion of missions, missionary work. Maybe we should call this the musings of a new missionary. Well, of course, I'm an old missionary, but there may be some musings here for you. And I was reading yesterday from Amy Carmichael's questions for prospective recruits. I wonder if any of you felt that you could pass that kind of an examination. How long is it since you gave yourself wholly to the Lord for His service? Do you truly desire to live a crucified life? This may mean doing very humble things for His name's sake. It is high and holy privilege to serve the Lord, and it is just as high and just as holy if we serve the Lord in a carpentry shop, in a combine on the plains of Alberta, in a radio ministry in Lincoln, Nebraska, in your home, in your church, in your neighborhood, in the kitchen, in the bathroom, in the laundry, in the workplace, at your desk, on the assembly line, working in a nuclear power plant, as one man who listens to Gateway to Joy told me he does. Do you serve God in that place? Self-denial is a beginning, here and now. Amy Carmichael wrote, "If I hold on to choices of any kind just because they are my choices, if I give any room to my private likes and dislikes, then I know nothing of Calvary love." Think about that one. Do we hold on to choices just because they are our choices? Do we give room to our private likes and dislikes? If so, we are not prepared for missionary work or any other kind of holy service for God. My own preparation for missionary work began when I was very small, and I began listening to the missionary stories of the missionaries who sat at our supper table. Then I began reading missionary stories. We went to church hundreds of times, I guess, and we saw thousands of missionary slides. And I decided I wanted to be a missionary. I had a pretty clear idea that it would be tough. I heard the stories firsthand from these missionaries. I remember Mrs. Carlson from Tibet, who came to speak to the Foreign Missions Fellowship when I was a student at Wheaton College. I don't remember anything else she said, but one thing stuck in my mind, and I certainly needed it more times than one when I was a missionary. Mrs. Carlson said to us, "If you are going to sing, 'Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow,' you better be prepared to sing, 'What He Feeds Me, I Will Swallow.'" Recently, I went through my files. I'm constantly trying to weed out and clean out and simplify my life and make things as easy as possible for my daughter when I die. And I pulled out the whole file of the letters that I had from my dear friend, Eleanor Vandevort. I've always called her Van. I didn't meet her until I was a senior in college, although we had been in college for 2 years together. She was in the year behind me. And I'll tell you how I met Van. My college schedule required that I have 2 hours more of physical education. Well, nothing fit my schedule of classes except tumbling, of all things. Now, I happen to be 5'9", thin, and I visualized that all the girls in this tumbling class were going to be short, tightly knit athletic types. And when I walked into that gymnasium, my dream was there before me. Every single girl in the place, as far as I could see, was short, athletic, and very far from my height. But then I looked over in the corner, and sitting against the wall with a very long pair of legs sticking out in front of her was a woman, also in the same regulation blue bloomers that we wore in gym class back in those days, 1,000 years ago, and she had a tiny little New Testament that she was reading. Her name was Eleanor Vandervoort. I heaved a great sigh of relief. Here's somebody actually taller than I am, skinnier than I am. She'll probably be even worse than I am at learning to tumble. I couldn't have been further off. Van was the star of the class. They had mats laid out from one end of the other to the gymnasium, and we were to do what they called forward rolls. And so all these little girls got onto that mat, and they flipped those rolls so fast I could hardly even see them. And then it was my turn. I just thought, oh, what am I going to do? And of course, it only took me far fewer turns than it took those short girls because of the length of my legs. But I made a mess of it. I fell over sideways. I don't know what all I did. And then I thought, well, I hope Van's going to be worse at it than I am. She's taller than I am. And she seemed to be very loosely put together. She got onto that mat, and she made about 6 flips from one end of that gym to the other. It took the other girls about 12 or 15 of them. I'm exaggerating here. I don't remember how many it took Van, but she was the star of that class from then on. We became close friends. She would come to my dorm room with her little New Testament. She'd say, "Bet, have you thought about this verse?" And she'd read me something. I graduated. I had to wait several years before I went to Ecuador as a missionary. Van graduated the next year, and she went to the Sudan. Her first letter that I have in my file, this is what she said, and listen to the musings of a new missionary. "If I've learned anything this year, it's how weak I am in prayer. I can't move a pebble, let alone a mountain. But I'm trusting that God is going to raise up Nuers, N-U-E-R, is the name of the tribe in the Sudan where my friend Van was working." So she says, "I'm going to trust that God will raise up Nuers, mature souls in the gospel. Many missionaries who have been here for years don't believe that this is possible. But after I've seen what God did for me, I'm confident that no new error is any worse than my heart, and God is sufficient for these things. This thing of bearing children in the gospel is terrific stuff. Keeps me pleading with God to show me what to do. Give me power in prayer. This business of being a Christian means going to war, and Christ did not hesitate to make the way to himself plenty hard to walk on. Carry the cross, my brother, and eliminate any further thoughts of self." Echoes here in Van's letter from Amy Carmichael. "If I covet any place on earth but the dust at the foot of the cross, then I know nothing of Calvary love." Van's letter goes on. "If you are willing to carry the cross, my brother, then you can come and follow me. You'll never win in this missionary business unless your life is his life, your will his will. And you must accept it out of a burning love for Christ. It's a battle. It's up to us Christians to bear the light of Christ through a body which is being constantly delivered up to death." She takes that from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 to 11. This was a passage that came to mean a very great deal to me. I would say it's the most important passage that I studied during my missionary work as well. And I was interested to notice in this letter from Van that that was the passage that meant so much to her. "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. That's a miracle, isn't it? The death of Jesus we must carry around in our bodies that the life of Jesus may be manifest. Don't ask me to explain it. That's what the Bible says. Van's letter goes on to say, the battle is carried on in the secret place of the Most High. Then there is victory. There is no hope of spiritual victory here except by walking by faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. These words ring in my ears and bring me to the utter uselessness and hopelessness of a selfish life. It's been a strange day today. Everything from catching a beautiful little fish for my aquarium to helping two missionaries put new screen on the veranda. And before that, two Bible classes. Well, there's a missionary's day spelled out for you. My dear friend Van, I'll be reading some more from her letters. It was just like a revelation to me. I had forgotten, of course, practically everything she said in those letters. And to reread them was a thrill. You'll hear more tomorrow.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.